3, verses 8 through 23. Elisha has just healed Naaman of leprosy. He's just made an axe head float. And now we see him another miracle that concerns the nation of Israel. It concerns the king of Israel. It's of national significance and national importance. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. And again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came and down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. The Lord is our shield, too. He was Elisha's shield. He was the king's shield. He was the people's shield. And one of the names of God in the Bible is his shield. The Lord is our shield. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, be with us now as we look at what you have to teach us about how you function as our shield and how because you are our shield, you can make us a blessing even to our enemies. Be with us now as we look together at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Soldiers used shields. Even today, soldiers use shields to defend themselves. Now, the shield that Goliath had must have been an enormously large shield. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of armor, which weighed about 125 pounds. On his legs was more armor. And there was a bronze javelin and slung on his back. His spear shaft, his spear weighed about 15 pounds. And guess what? The reason I'm saying his shield must have really been large was he had somebody else carry his shield. He couldn't carry that and do everything else. The shield was enormously important to the soldier. King Saul, who was a head taller than anyone in all of Israel, had an armor bearer, somebody who carried his shield. And throughout the Bible, throughout the history of warfare, soldiers have carried many different kinds of shields. The Romans had a smaller shield. There were big shields and all kinds of shields that people would carry. And basically until people began shooting at each other, shields were enormously important. And God is an important shield to us, to shield us from what's out there. And the first use of the word shield in my study is Abram, as God as his shield. He was distraught at one point because he didn't have any heir. And this was after he didn't have a son. Who was he going to leave everything to? God had just blessed him in an enormous military victory. He defeated, I believe it was five kings in battle. And so he says to the Lord, what's going to happen? I don't have an heir. What's going to happen to all that I have? And the Lord says, I'm your shield. I'm going to, even though you're old, I'm going to provide a son for you, and you're going to have as many descendants from this son as there are stars in the sky. He was going to provide for, he was going to be Abraham's shield. Now, in our senior high Sunday school class, we're looking at the names of God. And there are roughly 25 names that we're looking at, and that's just scratching the surface of all the names of God in the Bible. We're looking today at, and God is very great, these names describe who he is, and we're looking today, and we look at this story, of the name of God as our shield. And when God is our shield, we can bless even our enemies. We can bless even those people that are dead or are bent on destroying us. We can bless our enemies. Now, God is just completely different from us, isn't he? First of all, he's the triune God of the Bible, isn't he? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three persons in one God. And each one of these persons has something to do to save us. Each one of us functioned in a special way. He meets all of our needs. He is the triune God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one thing we don't want to ever forget about God is he is holy. He is completely different from us. God is a spirit and does not have a body like men. Completely different. He's triune, completely different. He's a spirit. He's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. We're none of those in who he is, in his what he knows, wisdom, in his power, in his holiness. He's without sin, justice, goodness, and truth. He has no limits whatsoever. When we think about God and just how holy he is, I'm reminded of the fact that he knows what I'm going to say, he knows what I'm thinking, and this is true of the 7 billion people in the world. He is holy, and he's completely different, and he is without sin. Now that he's a big shield, isn't he? He's big protection, he's big defense for us. And he is a forever shield. Shields have changed. Men don't have shields now to protect them from bows and arrows. We have missiles that shield us from attacks. But we're very concerned about defense, aren't we? But these shields keep changing because our enemies keep finding new ways to get at us. But God is the forever shield, the one who always protects us, who always from all evil. Now, but when with the Lord as his shield, we find Elisha even blesses God's enemies in our story. The king of Aram and the king of Israel were sworn enemies. The king of Aram is out to assassinate the king of Israel. He sends out bands to accomplish this. And they have inside information, but every time there's a plan here to get them, but every time they show up, the king of Israel avoids them, and so he becomes very angry. Now, people do become angry at God, don't they, when they can't do their thing, do their evil thing. And this is somebody who's angry at God because he's protecting the king of Israel. And so he says, which one of you is betraying? Which one of you is communicating with the Israelites? And one of his men says, oh, that's not it at all. It's like every time you talk, how would we put this now? It's like having it's like the king of Israel, you're talking to the king of Israel on speakerphone. He knows exactly what your plans are and what you're doing. And there's a prophet of the Lord, somebody who represents God, named Elisha, and he's the problem. So, and he's at Dothan. Now they discover that. Now Dothan was 5 to 6 hours from Samaria, and it's even further from Syria. They send the forts there, and there's a lot of soldiers. He sends them by night. They have a plan. They get there. They catch Elisha completely by surprise. For when his assistant, his servant, wakes up in the morning, he sees the city surrounded. Horses and chariots and foot soldiers armed to the teeth. The city surrounded, there's no way out. Now, Dothan is a name that we've come across before. If any of you remember where we came across before, it was a long time ago. This was where Joseph went to meet his brothers, and they sold them because there was pasture there, and they sold them into slavery. It's that same Dothan, the same area. And it's Dothan is on a hill. It's surrounded by hills, but there's pasture. And they surrounded him, and he's terribly frightened. And Elisha prays the Lord, open his eyes, please, so that he can see. There's nothing to be frightened about. And the Lord does that. And what does he see? He sees an overwhelming force of angels. And there's horses and there's chariots. And they're all around Elisha. You can't get to Elisha. They're around him. They're everywhere, but they are around him on this hill, this city that's on a hill. Now, are angels good protection? Are angels good protection? Well, in this case, one thing is this: they're like the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the Marines, all combined. They're not affected by gravity at all. They can't be detected by radar. They're intelligent. You can't hear them unless they want you to. And the most important thing, you know, what war is about is destroying the enemy, about killing. You can't kill angels. He opened his eyes and there's all these angels there. So who's in trouble? The Lord, when the Lord is our shield, we are not in trouble, are we? And then as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed a second time to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." Now the Lord strikes them with a very strange kind of blindness. It's not like they're blind and they can't see. They just can't see Elisha. They can't see who he is. They know him. He's the one they came after, but they can't see him. They can't see where he's going to lead them. What he says they're going to do. They just can't see who he is and what he is doing to them. They can see to walk. They go this long distance to Samaria, 4 or 5 hours there, walking there and swords and riding there to the capital city of Israel. This is not the road, this is not the city. Follow me, I will lead you to the man you are looking for. Now, he wasn't telling a lie, because he went with him, didn't he? God opens their eyes then. He prays again, he opens their eyes when he's there, and then they see him. The king of Syria sent an army to capture Elisha, and Elisha captures the whole army. Is God a shield? He is something else, isn't he, as a shield, like no other. And then as they enter the city, the Lord says, "Open the eyes of these men so they can see." And then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. Instead of being a strong invading army, where victory was certain, they're back at Dothan. They find themselves, what would you call them, prisoners of war. They can't get out. They're in prison. They've been captured. Now, if you're the king of Israel and here's your enemies there, what would be your response? Well, his response, he appears to be very eager to put them to death. "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" Now, the Lord had told his people when they were conquering Canaan, when they captured a city where the people wouldn't surrender, that they were put them all to death. "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" Possibly that's in his mind. It's possibly just what kings used to do. "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But there's some hesitation on his part, because this hasn't been an unreal situation. There's been no real fighting. There's been no real war. And so he asks Elisha, "Shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" And what does Elisha say? Now, many of you are familiar with 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Which says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we find in here these elements. Elisha rebukes King Jehoram. He says this, "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow?" And then he corrects him, "Do this instead. Instead of killing them, set food and water before them so they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." And then he teaches and trains them in righteousness. "So he prepared a great feast for them after they had finished eating and drinking. He sent them away. He prepares a good meal, a banquet for them, and then sends them on their way. What a reversal that was in the king's thinking. What a reversal that is in the way people were used to thinking. The Lord we see again the Lord shielding the enemies, the Lord shielding directing the footsteps of his people. So what is the Lord doing here? He's showing Israel and Elisha that he is their shield. He's shown them that Elisha, the man of God, could not be captured. He shows Elisha as the prophet of Israel, and he shows him here as God's ambassador. He represents God, doesn't he? He speaks for God both to the king of Israel and to the king of Syria. And then we see God blinding people, and then letting them see Elisha as the person they were seeking. Bottom line, what do we see here? We see Elisha repaying evil with good. Evil with good. And the conclusion of the story is this, and they returned to their master, so that bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Now, the fact that they didn't fight Israel anymore, it's more than just momentary shame at what has happened. But the power of God as our shield has been so great that it quenches their anger, their desire to kill the king and to raid Israel. They're overwhelmed. God has their shield, has overwhelmed them. He's protected them. And with God, the Lord is his shield and protector. What has Elisha accomplished? What has he done? He's blessed his enemies. He has blessed his enemies. So then it's natural to ask ourselves this question. How can we bless our enemies? Well, we need to know the Lord as our shield, don't we? As our defender, as our the one who saved us, who transforms us, and as our Lord. We need to know that he is holy. That he is what we've mentioned before. He's unlike us. He's completely different. And we need to know especially that he is the triune God who has saved us. The Father who decided to save us in eternity. The Son who took the punishment for our sin and triumphed over our greatest enemy, death, and rose from the dead. And then the Holy Spirit that he sent from heaven that transforms our hearts. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We need then to repent and believe. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We need to know him as the one who shields us forever. He's our shield. Psalm 91, which we read earlier, says this of God: "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." And then it goes on to say, you won't be afraid of anything. He is your shield. You don't need to be afraid of anything. And there's a long list. I encourage you to go back and read that psalm. Though 1,000 people are out to bent on destroying you, you don't need to be afraid. He is your shield. How much does God love you? He will always rescue us. He will always protect us. All those that acknowledge that he is who he is. He will deliver us. With long life he promises us, well, I will satisfy my people and show them my salvation. He's a shield. Now, it's important, and I ask you this question, is he your shield? Do you know God as your shield? If anyone, John 4, verse 15 to 19 tells us, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, confess our sins, he becomes our shield. When he's our shield, he shields us from revenge. We are able to love our enemies. The Lord is our shield, that's his name. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your old understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, God speaks of God, says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. He will protect us from all the enemies that would seem to attack us outside. He will protect us from the enemy within, from the temptations of Satan. He's with us always. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So let's take our stand with Elisha. He was a man of God. He spoke for God. He was God's ambassador. He represented God to those around him. And we are God's, when we are God's people, God is our shield. Should you trust him? Can you trust him? Will you trust him? Well, he knows everything. He is everywhere. He has all power. He loves us, and his love is a righteous love. He corrects us when we need it. There's justice. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He forgives us our sin. He loves us. The wicked are powerless before him. Where was this powerful king of Syria? Could the king of Israel help himself? But God was his shield. He defends the helpless. So let us remember that he is our shield. And let us, as Elisha did, serve him, serve God as his ambassadors. Did Elisha take a stand? He took a stand, didn't he? God was his shield. Now, Christ encourages us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you're blessed when you're merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So be merciful. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Be pure in heart. Don't get down and get dirty when the going gets tough. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Be peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Because God is your shield, Jesus says this, rejoice and be glad when you are persecuted. People may seek to destroy your reputation with words. They may gossip about you. They may seek to kill you with their words. But they've persecuted the prophets that were before you. They persecuted Jesus. So rejoice and be glad, there is a great reward that awaits you in heaven. God is your shield. And then Jesus goes on to tell us just who we are. These people who know God as their shield. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You change everything in the earth. There may be few of you, but you change everything. You are the light of the world. The world lives in darkness, but you are light. You are children of the light. You are light. So let us then not forget to trust the Lord. Put on this shield of faith. How would you measure Elisha? Would you say he trusted the Lord? I'd say that, wouldn't you? Did he have confidence in the Lord? He had great confidence in the Lord, didn't he? He knew the Lord. He saw him and his power to save him. He had hope in the Lord. And he loved the Lord, didn't he? He served the Lord. He lived for him. And that's a good thing for us to kind of look at ourselves in that way, and to look at, are we trusting the Lord, or is our confidence in the Lord when we're in difficult situations? If we love him, what does the Lord demand of us to do? And then to rejoice because of how the Lord is in us and does shield us. The Bible encourages us and tells us to fear the Lord. The Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't fear people, but fear him. Respect him, listen to him, obey him, love him, trust him. Have great hope in the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell, but is your Savior and your Deliverer from every situation. You have nothing to fear. The Lord is our shield. Now, is the Lord your shield? Jesus says this, come to me, all you that are weary. Now, this he's speaking to us when we get tired, and we do get tired, don't we? Weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, come to me, you that are weary of sinning, and confess your sin, and I'll forgive you your sin, and purify you from all unrighteousness. I will be your shield. I will walk with you. And I will make you a blessing to my enemies and your enemies. Now that's victory, isn't it? When the Lord, as our shield, enables us to be a blessing to our enemies. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our shield, and we praise you. We honor you and we glorify you, and we shout for joy that you are our shield in this life and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.